This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. 5 years ago this month, Porch Steps Baseball aired on All Things Considered. The essay by journalist Ed Cullen took us back to a moment in his childhood. The essay is about being a kid in summer. 10-year-old Ed Cullen is on the porch. He's imagining himself on a major league pitcher's mound. The ball isn't a Rawlings, but an old tennis ball. There's no batter. The hurler is going toe-to-toe with Porch Steps, the side of the house, and ultimately, Grandma. My brothers and I did something quite similar. Our mound was a driveway, and we hurled away at the garage. If Grandma was visiting, we'd take it down the street and fire away at the side of a school building closed up for summer vacation. This is the thing about Ed Cullen's essays. You identify with them. Well, now you can find his essays within the covers of a book, Letters in a Woodpile. The publisher is Cool Springs Press. And excuse me, that's Letter in a Woodpile. Married with two children and one grandchild, Ed Cullen is a features writer and columnist for The Advocate, the daily newspaper of Baton Rouge. And he's my guest in this portion of the program. Ed Cullen, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Good afternoon. While I was on hold, I was listening to your report on the White Sox.
Yeah?
The White Sox are the team in that essay, Porch Steps Baseball. They were
right.
The Go-Go Sox in the late 50s, and they were carried on my station in the Deep South, and I became a White Sox fan and have followed them all these years.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What station did you listen to them on?
KALB was the big station. They were on KSYL, a little station in a Quonset hut, with a big antenna sticking out of the roof.
Wow. Well, my dad was a big White Sox fan.
Yeah.
I can't remember who did the play-by-plays back.
Nor I. I think Al Lopez was the manager.
Yeah. Well, it seems you were destined to become a newsman. Tell us about your first venture into publishing.
I lived in a little town in the middle of Louisiana that had an afternoon newspaper. And I grew up reading that paper, and I started my own paper when I was about 10, typing each issue on a typewriter with carbon paper. And I don't know. I'm one of those people who knew very early in life what he wanted to do, and that was to report for a newspaper.
Yeah. What kind of stories did you have in that little news sheet?
Stuff we robbed from the the Daily.
And, yeah. Plagiarism there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was just kind of unpaid wire service.
Yeah.
And news of new people in the neighborhood and new kittens and dogs and kids.
Did you earn a little money on that?
Well, yeah, I guess so. My mother considered it begging because we'd sell the papers and we'd go door to door, and people would take one look at us and buy our paper and give us the price of the paper plus a little bit. But then I went on to work for the Daily Paper as a newsboy, throwing the paper, and great education. Into people and early business, trying to collect from my subscribers.
Mm-hmm. Well, when did you begin writing personal essays?
Well, a newspaper column is a personal essay if it's a personal column. So I guess soon after I went to work for The Advocate in the mid 70s, I would often find things in my notebook after I had written the story, the news story or the feature story, that was more personal or it was more opinion, and it didn't have a place in the news story. And I approached the city editor about writing a column, and he let me.
Hmm.
That's how it started.
Yeah. Can you tell us something about the process of writing a column?
Yeah. You have a 16-inch hole that has to be filled. And some weeks it's very easy, and I guess I probably am always writing a column. I'm always thinking about the next column, and sometimes when I sit down, the column is completely in my head, and it's just a matter of typing, as Dorothy Parker used to say. But other times you struggle, and if you get, you know, two good paragraphs out of a column, sometimes you say, well, that's the best I could do on this one. I'll do better next time. Russell Baker, one of the great columnists in American journalism, who wrote for the New York Times for years. Most people know him as the host of Masterpiece Theater on public television. Mm-hmm. Used to agonize over good columns and bad columns, and finally he saw columns as points on a graph, highs and lows, and stopped worrying about it.
Yeah. Well, now, what's the difference between writing a column for The Advocate and writing a piece for All Things Considered?
Getting to the point. A newspaper column, has to get to the point quickly because you're limited in space. With public radio, it's even quicker than that. I'm limited to about 400 words for my essays on public radio. So my writing for public radio has become almost prose poems, just really image-laden pieces of writing. And you have to tell the whole story in about 400 words or less.
Yeah. It's amazing how much you can get across so quickly. You do it very, very well.
Well, thank you. I read a lot of poetry, and to read poetry is to study compaction of language. And I think that helps.
Yeah. Well, here it is summertime, and I thought it would be wonderful if you would read for us Flip Flops.
Okay. Flip flops, also called shower shoes by some people. Buying new flip-flops signals the start of summer for me. Those slabs of rubber in lime green, strawberry red, plum purple, and the ever-popular basic black are cooler than a watermelon buried in a tub of ice. Flip-flops were once considered beachwear and summer house shoes. I got my first pair in junior high school gym class. We wore flip-flops in the shower to ward off mutant athlete's foot. Today, people wear flip-flops wherever they want. A friend who coordinates weddings at the cathedral downtown says they get married in them. They have little heels and sequins, but they're still flip-flops. Almost gone is the sound of screened wooden doors creaking open to be yanked closed by long, coiled springs. Where's the once familiar slick, slick sound of the motorless lawnmower? Flip-flops survive as sounds of summer, whether they're slapping the heels of swimsuit models or the feet of small children following dogs down tree-shaded sidewalks. The sound of flip-flops gives us the weight and importance of an announced arrival. In the winter, I walk an old part of Baton Rouge called Beauregard Town. I walk fast for exercise and high-tech running shoes. In the summer, those streets are walked best in flip-flops, slowly. The better to look at houses from another century wrapped in electric blue morning glory blossoms. A professor of music at LSU named Bill Grimes gets some friends together each summer to play jazz concerts. The audiences are young and old jazz enthusiasts. The older concert goers arrive in summer dresses, a few in heels. Their escorts wear ties, jackets, and dress shoes. The young people show up in whatever they put on that morning. A few minutes before the music starts, they sashay in wearing T-shirts, cut-off jeans, and flip-flops. Those so shod aren't shunned. Everyone slides down in his or her chair as the music floats out from the stage. Moms and pops, those in flip-flops, dig the bebop.
That's great. Moms and pops, those in flip-flops, dig the bebop. Well, how is summer progressing down there in Baton Rouge?
Well, we've been in a drought since the end of, since Hurricane Katrina. An enormous amount of water fell on us during Katrina, and then we went into a drought that has just been broken with July rainfall. So we're back to the afternoon thunderstorms that you can almost set your watch by. It's hot. Today it's cool, relatively. It's in the low 90s. with a relative humidity in the 90s.
Yeah, we're not too far off the pace.
I think everybody's weather is kind of evening out now. The
yeah,
same.
Yeah. So anybody walking down the street in their flip-flops?
I haven't been outside the last few minutes. They probably are.
Yeah.
Now, this is very informal town here. We have two universities here, a lot of young people, and flip-flops really are they're almost a uniform in the summertime.
Yeah, summertime and flip-flops and maybe porch steps baseball.
Right.
Did your children enjoy porch steps baseball?
Well, we don't have a front porch, and we don't have steps. You know, when I wrote this for public radio, Darcy Bacon was the editor who worked on it, and she said, "Well, you know, I don't know. Well, what's so special about porch steps?" And I said, "Well, do you have a lot of porches and steps in your neighborhood?" And she thought about it, and she said, "Well, no, we don't. A lot of houses are on slabs, and only the older neighborhoods have these porches and steps. But like you and your brother, my son found other places to throw the ball. It's just kind of a thing, just an atavistic thing that children do."
Yeah, yeah. Porch steps are so great. I don't know if I've ever lived in a place without porch steps.
Yeah, well, the ball comes off at crazy angles, and you play the carom, and it's just kind of a natural thing to start making up a game to go with the ball coming off the steps. I had a friend who really must have not had much to do in the summer, who kept notebooks with each game of porch steps baseball. I didn't go quite that far.
Yeah. Well, growing up, we had some porch steps, and you could hop up and down them. And then part of a made-up game would be you hop up and down the steps, and then you take a flying leap off the porch and rush down and jump over the hedge.
Right.
And hopefully no one was watching, because
right,
that was kind of hard on the hedge.
Well, our porch steps, where I played that game, there were six steps. They were concrete, and they were painted blue.
Hmm.
And they had really interesting balustrades on either side. But, it goes back to that thing of structures of human scale. Those houses were welcoming, inviting. That house had an attic fan, which figures in the essay. Attic fans provided the illusion of coolness. But,
yeah.
We certainly used ours.
Yeah, yeah. That fan, what did you say in the essay? It could suck a small dog.
Right. Snatch a dog off the sidewalk.
Yeah. Great. A great vision there. Well, I want to thank you very much for spending a little bit of a summer afternoon here with us.
Thank you. It's great to get a call from you in Illinois.
Oh, take care and have a great remainder of your summer.
You too. Thank you.
Ed Cullen has been my guest in this portion of the afternoon magazine. You can read his essays now, essays that have been aired on All Things Considered, in the book Letter in a Woodpile. The publisher is Cool Springs Press.